So welcome to the Pro-Life Team podcast. I'm Jacob and I'm here with Savannah. So Savannah, would you introduce yourself? Tell us about your connection with Live Action, your time on the street in these protests that you've been doing YouTube videos about. Maybe introduce yourself and include that those angles.
Absolutely. Well, first, Jacob, thank you so much for having me. My name is Savannah Craven Entau, and I'm a full-time pro-life activist and recently just started getting into YouTube and doing man-on-the-street videos, trying to expose just the craziness that's going on in our country right now. And when I first got involved with Live Action, I was just getting out of college. It was in 2022, and I was trying to find where I fit, because I went to a very liberal musical theater academy in New York City, which is where I'm still living. And I needed an outlet. Like, the city shut down and I had to move back to South Carolina. And I wasn't able to connect with many people who were going to school with me. They were very liberal. Of course, you know, when you're in musical theater and theater in general, film, it's full of a lot of people who identify with different genders and identities and are part of the LGBT community. There's not a lot of Christians, especially a lot of outspoken Christians. And most people tend to be liberal because it's just what fits along with being an actor or a performer. And feeling that emptiness and just feeling like I didn't have any way to be myself, I started doing research and finding out about organizations like Turning Point USA, and loved Live Action's work already because of how they expose the racism within the abortion industry, which is something I was already passionate about since I was raised Catholic. And of course, does it like loved life? I mean, it's what we're supposed to do, right? Because Jesus gives life. And then I started, you know, posting content on my TikTok and grew a community on there. That was actually like my number one platform until it just became really, really censored and crazy. And I don't make as much content on there now, but Live Action was able to actually reach out to me in 2022 and said, you know, we want you to start making some content for TikTok. So I would do reaction videos, and then every now and then I would go out and make content on the street. And so that's the first time where I really realized that I love talking with people one-on-one in the real world. It's one thing to just talk to a camera and then upload a video, but it's different to actually be there in person with someone and be able to change their mind or just plant that seed and see it happen right in front of you. And I feel like people, not at these crazy rallies that a lot of people will see me at nowadays, but when people are one-on-one with a person and they're open to learning about something that maybe they don't have the same opinion on, but they're open-minded and they want to hear somebody else's opinion, you are able to really change a lot of minds. And so I've done Man on the Street content with Blexit for a number of years, doing their HBCU tours. I have a lot of experience of being on college campuses and talking with college students. And I was like, I'm doing this for other organizations. Why don't I just do this like as a hobby on my free time? I already go to these crazy rallies and I already try to understand why these people are so angry about, in my opinion, all the great things that the current administration is doing for our country. And I just was like, you know what? I told my husband, I was like, I really want to give this a shot. And he's my cameraman. So he's always behind the camera in all my videos. And he was super supportive. And it just basically took off really quickly. It was pretty awesome to see. And then, of course, the huge incident that happened a little over 3 weeks ago, where I was brutally assaulted while doing work for Live Action. Planned Parenthood efforts is what we were doing, just asking people their opinions on Planned Parenthood and if they actually knew the amount of abortions they do compared to the other helpful services that they claim that they do so much of, which is really not true. And this is the reality of what happens when you have a different opinion these days, or what can happen is that people get so upset over something and they lose control of their bodies and of their demeanor because they are supporting the genocide of innocent babies. And that is just, that event was very, very traumatizing for me, of course. It was very traumatizing for my husband. And the story blew up, but God used it for to such an advantage for the pro-life movement and for his glory, which I'm so grateful for. And, you know, I'd go through it again if I knew that 10 million people, 10 million more people were going to be able to see the reality of what abortion is and think twice about it.
Wow. So, so before that, you know, that, well, that, that, in, that essentially getting punched in the face encounter, what was your resolve for, how did that change your resolve going through that experience? How did that change your, determination or your mindset, of doing what you're trying to do?
Absolutely. Well, going through that, I mean, the lead up to it, in my opinion, there really wasn't any lead up. And if you watch the full unedited footage, unless I guess somebody is from the area and has that same sort of attitude toward people in a conversation with someone that they don't really agree with, I never saw a lead up to her actually being physical with me. As you can see by a lot of the events that I go to, I'm always being cussed at. I'm always being called names and screamed at. And I've had grown men spit at me, tell me that I am deserve to be raped. Like, they say the most extreme things to me. And so it's nothing like out of the blue, right? Having this conversation with this woman, her getting emotional. We're talking about an emotional topic. Abortion hurts both pro-abortion people and anti-abortion people. It's just hurtful and sad in itself. And everybody knows deep down that a baby is losing their life. And that is not a happy thing, right? But the devil deceives. He tries to cover up really bad things and make it look really, really good so that people will sin. I mean, that's just the reality of what he does. It's manipulation. But as far as how that event changed me and changed the work that I do, it changed me in a way where it really brought me closer to God, because I realized just how much evil actually is walking around us every single day. You know, you would think that and hope that if something like that were to happen to somebody, other people around would rush to your safety and rush to help you. But that's not what happened. I had one woman who was able to help and assist me talk to the police officers on 911 on the phone, because I actually like started having a full-blown anxiety attack. I was dripping blood out of my face and I didn't know where it was coming from. All I could see was blood all over the ground. There's a million things rushing through your head. Like, is she going to go get someone else? Is she going to come back? Like, maybe with a weapon? You know, you just don't know. When something like that, that is so inhumane, happens to you, you just start thinking the worst. And it's a lot. It's not okay that people think that it is all right to just hurt people, not only with their words, but physically, just because they disagree or just because they didn't like how a conversation's going. Like, my mom told me, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. You can walk away. I wasn't holding her hostage there. She could have walked away at any moment from the conversation. And not only did she, you know, consent to the interview, but she continued to stay there even after she got emotional about it and was not liking how the conversation was going. So that's really just shown that, like, to me, that everything is very, very demonic when there is not a God within it. And that's exactly what abortion is. You know, it's child sacrifice. It's something that the devil loves. He loves the destruction of God's children. And how it's affected me going forward is I have just been inspired so much more than I was before to continue this work, because I see just how much it is needed. The over 10,000 comments and hate messages and videos that people have made about me condoning what this woman did to me and saying that I deserved it just shows me how much hate is out there and how many people need to hear this message, even though it's not a pretty message to hear about. Like, do I like the fact that I have to, or I, you know, feel called to talk about abortion every single day and that women are being used and abused and taken advantage of through abortion? Do I like talking about the fact that babies are being ripped limb from their mother's womb? No, it's not a particularly interesting or fun topic to talk about, but it needs to be talked about because the babies can't speak for themselves and I have a voice. They don't. So that's why I feel like I'm called to keep speaking out. And this event has just further proven how much it's needed. And I hope that it inspired other people to start speaking out as well, because being pro-life is one thing, but actually acting like it is what saves lives.
I want to say thank you for speaking out. I think it's brave. It's for a lot of people, they would be terrified to walk into a place where the conflict is looming, and I feel like your demeanor when talking is one of you must have had a really good childhood or something, or God's with you, because you've got the ability to stand there and not like as if you're standing on a very firm foundation, more so than something that will, you know, you're not retreating, you're not cowering, you're standing there in the midst of verbal abuse that might be coming from seven different angles as you're surrounded by people who are just spewing hate. Would you speak about the spiritual warfare, and how do you, what's it like to prepare? What's it like to be there? And what's it like afterwards when you attend one of these rallies where it's very heated?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just daily prayer. I mean, for me, I'm always wearing Our Lady around my neck, even when I go undercover to these crazy events. And I'm always praying just for God to cover my husband and I. And now I'm so blessed that with the help of my supporters, I'm able to get security and go out to these events. So I feel a little less anxious now. But it's just sad that I even have to go out with security and have somebody there to protect me in case something goes crazy, because I just know that these people are so violent, and yet they scream that they're the party of peace and tolerance and inclusion. But then the moment that somebody shows up and questions them on their beliefs, I don't even tell people that I'm conservative. They just automatically assume that I'm this right-wing extremist. When I ask them, why do you support what you support? Tell me why I should be on your side. Tell me why somebody that's watching on YouTube, that's watching on their phone right now, should be on your side, should come out here and join you if we need to make so much change, right? But overall, it's just knowing that you can't take any of this personally, because they're not mad at you specifically. They're mad at the message. And everybody who hates the truth is always going to sound like hate. The truth is always going to sound like hate. It could be anybody doing it out there. It's not just about me. It's about the fact that they are hit with the truth, and that's what triggers them. It's like that saying, you know, don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah. So what's it like to, so speaking of like, yeah, when you're at one of these, pro-abortion rallies of sorts, or, you know, however they might be coined, at least with that topic being the one that's mostly discussed. What's it like to be perceived as a friend, and then to have it flip and be perceived as the enemy, and then for them to go from being like generous and kind in general, maybe not everybody, but, and then going into like, you know, where they're just spewing curse words and just sort of like, you know, how would you describe that experience?
Yeah, it's very telling. It's very interesting that somebody can flip that quickly, because if someone were to come up to me at a pro-life rally and be like, why are you holding a pro-life sign? Why do you think that abortion is murder, and wants to debate? I would tell them simply like, well, I mean, what happens in an abortion? There's a baby that's alive. And then after the abortion is done, the abortion or the baby is no longer alive, and the baby is no longer inside the woman. And how is that abortion being taken place? It's brutal. It's dismembering. It's poisoning. It's starving an innocent child that didn't ask to die. And I don't like innocent people dying. I don't like seeing anyone dying. And so that's why I'm out here today. Very, very simple. Like, I'm able to explain why I'm out here. But then when I just ask simple questions, okay, you're holding a sign that's talking about abortions. Tell me why, you know, you're pro-abortion, what happens in an abortion, they automatically start to get really defensive. And it's like, these are simple questions that you should know. You're holding a sign about something. I think you should know a little bit about it, right? But nowadays, it's so rare for especially people on the left to be questioned on their beliefs. They never actually have to explain it. They just repeat things over and over and over again. The media goes along with it. The celebrities go along with it. And everybody's just living in this la-la land where it's like, oh, we don't actually have to like talk about why we believe in things. We just believe in it because we just believe in it. It's like, no, that's not how you come to a strong belief system, is when you get offended. I could talk about why I'm pro-life all day. right? Because it's something I'm passionate about. And I feel that if you're passionate enough to like take off work or use your Saturday to go out and go to a rally, you guys are, should be like the most, you're the most passionate ones about this. Not only do you care about these topics, but you actually go to events that support the topics that you're talking about and that you're supporting. So why would you not know? It's very, very strange to me. But it's just universal at all of these events where people lack the ability to support their views. And then they do three things. Either get really defensive, they switch completely and start being really rude to me and claiming that I'm a TERF and that I'm trying to instigate and antagonize people, or they just run away. I've literally had people run away from me, like sprinting away once I ask them a question about why they're out there.
Wow. Yeah, it seems so disingenuous when a protester can't or won't explain the words on their sign. Like they have a sign, they're holding it up in a rally. It's very hateful often. And they won't even, yeah. So what's it like? What are your thoughts when someone won't describe the message that they are, you know, holding up at the street corner or in the rally?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of conspiracy theories that a lot of these people are being paid by, and this is just what I hear in my comments. There's just hundreds of comments, people saying that George Soros or just the Democratic Party are paying for these people to come out to these events. I definitely know that the people with the vests on, they refer to themselves as marshals. They're supposed to keep people at the event safe. They're supposed to help with crowd control. I find it very hard to believe that these people are not being paid to come out here. According to them, you know, you have to go through like a whole marshal training, and it's just really interesting. There's also an organization, I believe it's an organization called New York Community for Change, and they have like galas, and I see a lot of people that are a part of New York Community for Change, which is very left-leaning organization. They're at all of these events in their orange shirts, and it just makes you think like, okay, these people are holding very, very nice signs, like very put together, nice bubble letters, nice colors on them. You know, there's a few people who just look like they found a piece of cardboard in the trash and wrote something on it, like F Elon. But then there's the people that have like really nice signs and are standing out there looking like they've been doing this for a long time. And I go up to some of those people and then they have like no idea what to say when I ask them a question about like, why are you out here? What does your sign mean? And it makes you kind of think like, are these people being paid? I don't know. I'm starting to believe it the more that I go to these events and the more people I talk to that have no idea what's going on, yet they're out here at these rallies and protests. So they could be paid for. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, even if they're not being paid, it seems like they were at least asked to come out and protest because they don't know what their sign means. And they don't really have a position worth sharing. Yeah, they're not looking to share their position. It seems like if someone wanted to protest because they truly believe about something that much, that they would be able to speak for hours about that topic.
100%. Yeah. If I am going to go out and like use my weekend or even like a weekday to go out and protest something, you best believe I'm really believing in it, because I mean, that takes energy. I could be doing a million other things. But if you really think that our country is on the verge of, you know, the end of time because of Donald Trump or Elon Musk, like, tell me why. Tell me specifics. Don't just say, you know, tariffs and immigration. Okay, what about the tariffs? What about immigration? But they never can.
Yeah. So one of your, well, identities is being a voice for the voiceless when you're engaging people who are essentially speaking lies about those in the womb. Which Bible passage or what other identities do you hold as you go out and stand up for those in the womb?
Yeah. Well, of course, Jeremiah 1:5, you know, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I'm forgetting the actual name right now, but I think it's in Proverbs where it's like, you know, you should leave those or lead those away that are assembling toward the slaughter, right? And so those are like the main two where I'm like, okay, God literally formed us before we were, you know, our parents even met. Like he knew at the beginning of time that we were going to exist and that we were going to be. And God doesn't make mistakes. That's what we believe as Christians. And what every other religion believes about, you know, their God is that he's the creator and he's the one who says how things will be. And so if a child comes into existence, even if it's not in a perfect situation, like up to society standards, that doesn't make that life any less valuable. That doesn't mean that we get to decide if they get to live or not. We never should be able to make that decision. And so I fight for the children and also the women that are in the situation where they feel like they're not strong enough, that just because people around them are telling them, like, you know, you're really young, or you really wanted to have this career, you need to choose between what you really want. It's like, no, women are strong. Women can do things. Women can be mothers and have their dream career, can accomplish all of their goals in life. And I think that's what the feminist movement really should be about, instead of telling women that they have to choose between one or the other. They have to choose between their child and their life. Why can't we just love both and support both?
Awesome. Yeah. So when it comes to this work that you're doing, which involves a lot of interviewing on the street, what do you do with that footage? Where does that footage go? You know, is it essentially right now going to YouTube, or what are your plans for the future for maybe, you know, other journalism type steps that might go with that content creation?
Yeah. So right now, most of my content is going to YouTube and Instagram. I try to make little teaser clips or just short interactions that are like under a minute and a half to encourage people to go to my YouTube channel, because I'm really trying to grow that platform. I just love making these long form content and all the support that you get over there. It's honestly like the best platform. And I hate that it took me so long to get onto it, because people are just so supportive over there. They're very engaged. Like they tell you if they like something, they tell you. If they don't like it, they tell you. And so it's very helpful. It's like a little community over there. But you know, for the future, I want to feature more female creators, female conservative, strong influencers in the movement. That's why it's called Her Patriot Voice. I want to encourage other women to go out and speak the truth, because there are a lot of people that do man on the street interviews in the conservative movement, but it's mostly guys, I've noticed. And that's, you know, probably for a couple of reasons. Like, it's a little bit more intimidating to go out as a woman, and probably people seeing what happened to me makes them probably not super excited to go out as a woman and do this stuff. But that's why we have to have security now. But yeah, that's just for the channel. I only started in February posting these man on the street videos, so it's been a pretty short amount of time. And I'm just praying, you know, for God to lead me in the right direction and take me wherever he wants to with this.
Awesome. If you had to, you know, put a number to the number of people who are rational or willing to discuss this topic of abortion with someone they don't agree with, where would you, you know, what percent or what ratio would that be for people who are civil and willing to talk about it in a civil way compared to those who don't?
Yeah, probably 1 out of 15 or so that I come across are rational. And even so, they don't want to speak for very long. So maybe they're not disrespectful, but they definitely don't want to speak to me for super long, which is fine. You know, it's totally up to them, but I think they start to walk away or want to just not really talk to me anymore because they don't want to be challenged. They're simply there just to march for whatever they're marching for and then go home. It's nothing more than that.
And then what ratio of people have actually changed their mind, or have you had that experience as of yet?
Yes, I've had lots of experience with changing minds with doing live actions, man on the street videos, where we go and show abortion procedures. Animated abortion procedure videos that they have are amazing. And I've also had a lot of minds changed on campus by just simply telling the story of the Holy Family when talking about abortion and being like, listen, we were saved because of an unexpected teen pregnancy. And think about if Mary would not have been open to Jesus, if she would have been like, nope, I'm about to get married. This baby isn't even my future husband's. I'm a virgin. I'm young. I'm poor. I can't do this. Think about where the world would be today. The world would probably have ended at this point, right? And so I just tell that story. And so many times I have to tell that story to young Christians because they don't make the connection of what Jesus came from and what a beautiful things can come from such a difficult situation. And that's been really effective when people are actually open-minded. But when I go to a lot of these protests, like I just said before, most of these people are there to just march and then go home. They're not there to have any conversation. They're not there to bring people to their side. They're just there to, I guess, make a statement, take photos, and leave.
Hmm. Yeah, we're actually working on a content piece. We're calling it Mary March because it's starting off on March 25th, which is 9 months before December 25th. And essentially, we're trying to make a new article / e-letter that goes on the 25th of each month, all the way from March to December, to really honor that pregnancy where Mary did carry Jesus. And it was hard. I mean, she even had to travel late in her pregnancy. And with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of, you know, they couldn't even find a place to stay. I mean, it was just, you know, it was, and not to say that she had the hardest pregnancy, but there's a lot of pregnancies that women go through difficult times and uncertain times, and it requires support and requires looking to God for help. And Mary's experience was no different there.
Absolutely. So true.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. What else would you like to share before we wrap things up?
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for having me. If you guys would like to follow along with what I'm doing, you can follow my YouTube at Her Patriot Voice. And then all the other socials are just type in my name, Savannah Craven, and you should find me. And send me an email or a DM if you have any cool videos, ideas, because we have a lot of crazy stuff coming up. You know, we got Pride Month coming up and there's going to be women's marches and the anniversary of Dobbs. So there's going to be a lot of great content coming very soon.
And then when you're in the heat of it at a protest and there's, you know, fire being thrown your direction or darts, what Bible passage or what prayer or what thoughts run through your head as a way of regaining strength or to as a reaction to that anxiety that is, you know, probably building up?
Yeah, probably when Jesus said, you know, if they hate you, remember they hated me first. And with you, when you get as much hate as I do, like on the daily basis of people telling you how horrible you are and that you deserve awful things to happen to you, you have to remember, what does Jesus say? He says that he loves you, that you need to have a relationship with him, of course, to receive his blessings. But Jesus says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are perfectly made the way that you are. And you just need to have a relationship with him and follow his commandments, even when it's hard. You know, it's not easy being a Christian, especially when these people say horrible things to you. You know, you want to start having bad thoughts, but you have to remember that these people don't know what they're doing. And they really are actually so lost. And we have to remember that is that they've been taken over by the enemy. And it's so easy to be taken over by the enemy. It's a choice every single day. Am I going to follow Jesus or am I going to go against Jesus? Am I going to work with him or am I going to fight against him? It's a choice that you have to make probably actually more than daily. It's almost like by the minute, really, whether it be work, school, family, you know, life is tough. We have to make a decision, multiple decisions every single day to choose the right thing to do. But it's just as easy, I would say easier sometimes, to choose the negative path, especially when you're going with the crowd and what social media says, what society says is okay. And there's all these people around you, people like celebrities that people look up to saying that certain things are okay. And when such a big part of the population is like these young, impressionable, you know, girls and boys, it's like not very popular to listen to your parents and believe that they're doing things for your own good. It's easier to just listen to somebody who looks like they have a perfect life on the internet and go with what they're saying. But we know as we grow up and become adults why our parents were trying to put us in the proper direction.
That's good. Actually, I guess I have three more questions now that I've before we wrap things up. So one of the questions is, where have you seen God's fingerprints while doing this work? Where has God shown up in this journey?
Yeah, God shows up all the time. I mean, I was raised Catholic, as I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, and like many Catholics and Christians, you know, when you're raised that way, there's a time where some people fall away from the church, whether that just be because, you know, the family stops going, or, you know, you go off to college and you kind of have your own schedule. And that's sort of what happened to me. My mom got a new job once I entered eighth grade, I think it was. And then going into high school, you know, she had to work on Sundays. And so I didn't have a ride to church anymore. So after I got confirmed, I never really had a real relationship with Christ after that. And going to college, I also mentioned before that it was a very liberal environment, very little Christianity. Nobody was super open about having a relationship with God. And those who claimed that they were Christians were definitely not living a Christian lifestyle. And seeing what, you know, somebody says, I'm Christian, but yet they're living this way, it's like, well, I mean, do I really need to call myself a Christian? Do I really want to call myself a Christian when I'm seeing what a Christian is acting like? No. So it didn't look super appealing. There wasn't a reason for me at that time that I could find to really dedicate myself to God, which is really unfortunate, but I obviously wouldn't change anything because it brought me to where I am now. And being in school, being in New York, I was at my dream school. I was in my dream city where I wanted to be, but yet I always felt like there was something that was missing. I felt this deep, dark hole inside of me and I couldn't figure out what it was. I'm like, but I'm so fulfilled. Like, I have a job where I'm able to get like extra spending money. I'm going to my dream school. I'm singing and dancing every single day. Like, why am I so depressed? And then COVID comes along and all of the things that were making me happy were then taken away because Broadway shut down, the city shut down, COVID was taking over the world, we thought at the time. And now here I am back in my little town where people are so close-minded, there's no opportunity like there is in New York. And that's where I just like really reached the darkest point in my life. And for the first time in probably 7 or 8 years, I decided to go to Mass. And I remember it being on like a weekday and it was like a 5 p.m. Mass. And I go and I walk in and I literally forgot most of the things that I was supposed to even be doing during Mass. But I sat in the back pew. And as soon as I kneeled down to pray before the Mass started, I just, like, tears just started streaming down my face. And I literally felt God say, "Where have you been?" I heard him say that. I was like, that's a great question. I don't know where I've been. I don't know what I've been doing. And he said, you know, you've been living so much for yourself instead of living for me. That's why you feel so broken, why you feel so empty. And when I was starting to think about the things that I want to really accomplish in life, which was marriage, having a family, and knowing that there's more than just this life, I knew that I was not living the lifestyle where I deserve those types of things. And I wanted a husband as well who feared the Lord and loved God and had a relationship with him because that's how I want to raise up my children. So I had to get my head on straight. And of course, you know, it was a rough journey. I think a lot of people have a difficult journey to really giving their life to Christ. And I also had the feeling inside of me, like I knew I needed to fight for conservative values and I needed to speak up for the preborn. But depending on my own ego, I guess, like that wasn't going to be enough strength to prepare me for all of the things I've gone through while being a pro-life activist. And that's why I needed God in my life. Around like 2022 is when I really like locked in and was like, I need to be complete with this. And little did I know, like literally the next, that winter, I guess it's like still February, is when I met my now husband. And he's also Catholic, was raised Catholic, has an amazing relationship with God. And our relationship, we did long distance. He moved here from India for us to get married and be together. And our relationship was anything but easy. It was a huge challenge, you know, trying to get him here and doing everything properly. But I wouldn't have changed anything because I truly believe that God brought us together. And it's so amazing to have somebody who's so supportive and believes in the same things that you believe in. And it's just been amazing. And it's all been because of God. Like, I leave it to him 100%. All the opportunities I've been given, the people that he's had in my life, the people who he's taken out of my life, it's all been for a good reason.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. That was beautiful and just so good to hear. Absolutely. So with being someone who has been, well, where the rubber hits the road with, you know, in this topic in space, what's a new idea that you have experienced, or what's something that you have that you could share with like pro-life friends or pro-life leaders, you know, which, or just reflect on maybe your experience of what's really been like highlighted. Maybe it's not, if it's new, great, but if not, maybe just reflect on what you've learned and what's helpful for the people to hear.
Yeah. What I've learned is just not to take everything so seriously, and don't go into conversation just trying to change somebody's mind. Sometimes you're just being used in that moment to plant a seed, and that's all that that's as far as you're going to get. And that's okay. Because that's what God wants us to do, is plant seeds in people's minds about him, share his story, share his commandments. And maybe the next person that person encounters, or an event that happens in their life, will make that seed continue to grow and bloom eventually into a beautiful flower. So, yeah, I mean, talking with someone on campus, there's been times where I've debated abortion and debated other cultural and issues in the world for over 45 minutes, and there was no minds changed. But it was a conversation where I was able to talk about what a blessing life is, that science, not only religion, but also science, backs up me being pro-life, me not wanting children to be killed simply because of the situation that they're in or what they look like, any, you know, quote, deformities that they might have, that every child deserves the right to live. And again, like, that's just sometimes as far as you'll get, and that's okay. I think people are too focused a lot of the time on trying to win, but that's not what we do. You know, I don't, obviously, like, Jesus knew when he was dying on the cross that, you know, in the end we're going to win. But imagine, you know, if he just fought back and said, no, like, no, he surrendered to that because he knew what was coming after that. And that's what we just have to pray, is that that person will be open later and keep their eyes open to other things that are going to happen to them later on after that conversation, and hope that one day they're marching alongside us.
Wow. Yeah. It sounds like trusting God for the results. And even if you don't see the results, trusting God is, it sounds like that's what you're echoing or saying.
Yes.
So yeah. I want to ask you to say something that will encourage pregnancy clinic directors and leadership. But instead, I'm going to ask you, how have you been encouraged to do what you're doing? How have you received encouragement? And then how might that also encourage others who are pro-life leaders?
Yes, my greatest encouragement has come from the high school students that I've had the pleasure of giving trainings to and working with, and the college students as well. Just seeing them come in as such shy little pro-lifers, and then with just the experience that I've graciously been given by watching people like Lila Rose and just countless debates on YouTube and reading lots of books on pro-life versus pro-abortion. You know, it's just really rewarding. This is a really rewarding job, to get messages from other people and say, you know, you changed my mind. I was pro-life, but still believed in the circumstances of rape and believe there should be exceptions there. And then I realized, like, you're right. Babies who are conceived in rape, they're deserving of life too. And now I understand. Or people that are finding out about the dangers of IVF and how many babies that it takes and the fact that you're playing God in that situation. That's what makes me believe, like, you know, past all the hate comments, past, you know, getting punched in the face, that I know that I'm making a difference. It's just sometimes not always seen, like you said. And I know in the end that I'm right. If I'm right about one thing, it's that killing innocent children is wrong. And nobody is going to be able to convince me otherwise. Not only because is it morally incorrect, but also God tells us, like, thou shalt not kill. I don't like the shedding of innocent blood. You know, stand up for those that can't stand up for themselves.
Awesome. Well, Savannah, I've really appreciated you being on here. Would you close out this podcast with a prayer, with the expectation that those who are listening may join you or echo, you know, essentially join you in this prayer?
Absolutely. Yes. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you so much for Jacob and his platform and all the people that are watching today. I pray that the people who have listened to our conversation today take the next step forward to fighting for innocent little babies' lives, standing up for women who are coerced and manipulated into choosing to kill their children at an abortion facility. And I pray that they become closer to you, that they listen to the call that you have for them, and give them the courage to be an influence and an inspiration to others, to bring them to fight for what is good. And you define what is good, God. I pray for an end to abortion. I pray for an end to all human suffering. And I pray that, again, everybody who's listening and watching today, that if they are not fully trusting in you yet, that they take that step today. And I just thank you for the gift of life, Lord. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording there.
Shepherd, I shall not be in want.
I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green. He leads me by quiet blue. Yeah, the walk through darkest valleys, you are near me. Your protection and guidance are comforting me. Lead me in righteous pathways for your namesake alone.